The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, the Appleyard Agency, and Southern Media.
This is an honor. It's Candy Cullerton. I'm sitting in for Tammy Martin this morning. And you know, I've been listening to this commercial all week. I board up Andrew's show. And then the amazing Jim Grimes and Dickie Appleyard coming in. And I've known you guys for a long time. I feel like there it is. Not a good producer, but I'll do. And I've known you guys since I worked at TK. And, of course, you guys have I've always been in the community. Everybody knows you guys very well. But why don't we talk about who you are? If somebody has never met Jim Grimes and Dickie Appleyard, what do you do?
Well, Jim Grimes asked me to go first, so I'm happy to do it. Yeah. Well, both of us, I think it's described as we were born on third base and we thought we hit a triple. Which an interpretation of that is we were both blessed to have fathers and families who preceded us. Both of our dads were in the advertising business. My mom was also in it. And so when we came along, some of the pathway was already there. So I've been doing what I've been doing for 50 years, and the Appleyard Agency started somewhere 60 some odd years ago with my dad and my mom. I can remember since we're on radio, we had a copy of the first check to a radio station, which was to WMEZ, and the spots were 45 cents a piece. So we have a long
history. Are they more now?
Yeah.
Because they still pay the same.
Yeah, right. We have a long history of being in the advertising world, and I think today what Jim and I are excited to do is to talk about, you know, the people, the things, the whatever in radio and also in other medium in Pensacola.
Yes.
And to share our experiences, and oddly enough, I would hope someday that other industries might come in here and competitors could sit at the same table with the same respect Jim and I have for each other and with our Absolutely. Other ad agencies in Pensacola. We do compete, but we are certainly friends, and we're lucky that we're in an industry that allows that to happen. So that's my introduction. Jim, it's Absolutely. All up to you.
Absolutely. And you know, I was lucky enough, like Dick said, my father was in the advertising business. Started out at WAR as a cameraman.
I did not know that.
And, then when he left WAR, he was the general manager. So
I believe that. I don't know if you ever met the late Jim Grimes, but yeah, I 100% believe that. Yeah. Sure.
He and then he left town because in story Dick and I were talking about yesterday, actually, had to leave town on a non-compete because he went to work for another station.
That happens.
Yes. And then he left, went away for about 15 to 20 years, came back, started Southern Media, and we've been around for about 25 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, but one of the places he went to that's kind of fascinating after being at AIR, many people remember the name of Roy Hess. And Roy Hess and Milt Durana started WPMI Television.
Yes.
That's NBC 15, yeah.
Actually, when it went on the air, it was not aligned with anybody. It was an independent on a UHF. You had to have a little special antenna to get it. It grew to where it was WPMI, and then when Fox came along, they were a Fox affiliate for a while, and then Sinclair swapped the Fox affiliate, so WPMI, which started as non-affiliated, went to Fox, and after Fox, it became aligned with NBC. And Jim's dad, Roy, bought a station up in Chattanooga. What were the call letters of that, Jim? I can't. DSI, W something, something, something.
He worked for two stations in Chattanooga, and I can't remember that one.
Well, just a quick story, because I was working with Mr. Hess. My dad and Mr. Hess were good buddies, and he thought it would be this kind of the same deal in Chattanooga as it was here, which we were a UHF, which, unbeknownst to Mr. Hess, required a line-of-sight signal.
Yes.
And in Chattanooga, there's very few line of sights because there's all these mountains. And so he could only deliver about a third of the homes in the Chattanooga market. But he solved that since. But anyhow, Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Keep going.
You told the story better than I did, because I didn't know all that.
Yeah, well.
As Dick said, and actually Dad went up and ran that station after mm-hmm. he had to leave Pensacola. They sent him to Chattanooga for a while. And then
I had no idea. I didn't even know he was with the AAR. This is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've known him, Southern Media. Okay, okay.
Gosh, he was at EAR for 30-some-odd years.
Golly.
Before him.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are both both of your companies, and I'll let you continue in a sec, are just weaved into the fabric of Pensacola so deep. You guys have helped change the landscape and make it just better with everything that you guys do, not just community service projects, but I had no idea that your dad helped shape this whole area.
Well,
my gosh.
Funny story about in the early days, my dad would go out to WAR where Jim Grimes was a cameraman. And they do live commercials because there wasn't any videotape or anything like that. And
yeah.
Apparently, wow. One day there was a place called Tony's Pizza.
Oh yeah.
And Tony's Pizza had a pizza they wanted to show on the air. And Jim Grimes, my dad, was the agent for Tony's Pizza. Imagine how much money we made off that one. But anyhow, and the cameraman Grimes tells the person on the air to tilt the pizza down so they could see the wonderful toppings on the pizza. So long story short, the pizza ended up on the floor with Lynn Tony down by the pizza talking about how good Tony's pizza was. Yeah. Have you heard that story?
Yes, I have.
That's a true story.
Yes,
now, that's enough of that. Keep going.
Well, I kind of forgot where I was at. Anyway, so...
Chattanooga. Yeah. He went up and ran that station
in Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
Then
yeah,
he went to the Virgin Islands for a couple of years, ran a station there, Virginia, Rockford, Illinois, and then El Paso, Texas, and back to Pensacola.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he ran a bunch of CBS television stations. They kept moving him around. Mm-hmm. And he came home
That's
to the community he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was home. It was always going to be home. And I left for a very short period of time, following him in Illinois. Always come back to Pensacola.
Oh, sure. You know. Especially from Illinois. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Well, I agree 100%.
Illinois is a little different. Yeah, everything. Once you come here, man, it's hard to leave. It's such a wonderful area.
It absolutely is. And we're very, very fortunate to live here. Mm-hmm. Love this place. And now Dick and I both get to work a little bit to help the community. So.
Oh, man. And it's true. And I've of course, I met you, Dick, the first time at a waterfront rescue mission at the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, which is mind blowing. I had no idea I knew about the thrift stores, you know, and wow. I had no idea all of that went into it. And it's been wonderful watching it grow. And I know you've been with them for a long time.
They are near and dear to my heart. I love what the mission does. And you know, oftentimes you get involved in public services that people who do things that you're not capable of doing. And it's nice to be able to do what we do to help support them. But could I be there working with them? It's dealing with a pretty tough community as they come along. But Waterfront is a fantastic public service to our community. They take care of some of the people that have no hope. And one of the things you have to understand, there's a lot of homeless in the town. But if a person decides they want to get better and they're committed to get better, that's when Waterfront, that's what they excel at, is mm-hmm. they take you and they put you through a lot of training and a lot of work, and you live out there and you're fed out there. But they do a wonderful job of taking care of those people. That lunch I've been doing, it's called the media lunch.
That's the media lunch, yeah, for Thanksgiving.
Years. Yeah. Started with 20 people, and now we get over 200 come to just hear the story of the Waterfront mission. So they're doing well, and who would have thought that we would have that much that many problems in the homeless community where they just are taking care of their little slice of it, but my goodness, what great work they do. And we still have that problem in our community. There's a lot of people that choose to be homeless and they're sitting on the side of the road, and I won't get into that.
Okay.
No, I hear you. I know, 100%. But I do love that you help the ones that want to be helped. And like I said, I had no idea. And by the way, if you're curious about that, you could look up Waterfront Rescue Mission and lots of ways to donate, and not just money and shopping and stuff, but your clothes. That'll help them, the stuff that you don't need anymore. And what are you involved with? There's a bunch of stuff. My goodness.
Well, you know.
Everything. I'm Jim Grimes.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Yes.
But You know what? Most of my clients I work with are going to be, I'm in a lot of car industry stuff.
Right. That's right.
So I do a lot of that. Dick and I get to work with Visit Pensacola.
Visit Pensacola, which just blows my mind. It's so funny. You don't think, because why would we need a Visit Pensacola? Who wouldn't want to come here and vacation? Thousands live like millions wish they could, you know.
Absolutely.
But absolutely, you need the tourism dollars. And of course, you guys are involved in that. That's amazing.
Yeah, the tourism dollars help. They help our
community.
They
have a lot.
Yes, they do. It provides over 20,000 jobs for the community. And the tax dollars that are generated by that helps us where we don't have to pay as much
100%,
taxes.
100%, absolutely.
So, yeah, we're fortunate to be able to help with that.
We got a tough boss, though. The president now of Visit Pensacola is Brent Lane. So it's a struggle.
God.
Yeah, I know.
The president. Talk about
Man,
a wonderful contribute.
That's a strife I did not think you guys had to deal with.
Well,
I completely understand.
None of us can compete with what Mary, Dave, Brent, and everybody out here does in the community. We do some. Y'all do a ton. And
absolutely.
It's amazing how much
you should
work
be very
you
proud.
So.
Oh, we definitely are. This is we all have community service hearts, I think. And definitely you guys. And that's one of the things that I've noticed is it because you see everything kind of comes and goes. But you guys have just been staples in our community for so long, not just our advertising community, but just everything that you guys do. And it's phenomenal. And it's so wonderful. You guys are leaders in that way, and you inspire people every day with what you do.
Appreciate it. He does.
You both do. My goodness.
Well, at the end of the day, a little bit about Visit Pensacola is years ago, they used to send all the advertising out of town for Visit Pensacola. And, you know, there are people that are experts at coming in and doing fancy Dan presentations. And I got frustrated that nobody could care more about this community
absolutely
than the local ad agencies.
100%.
So we formed something called Showcase, which includes four or five ad agencies, a lot of other vendors. So almost every production dollar and placement dollar comes from one of the agencies. And ironically, you might think, well, boy, that's hard to get those cats herded, but we work well together, and everybody knows their specific niche, and they handle their niche well, and everybody benefits. But bigger than that, I think the community benefits because we do it, and we
are—I
don't know how anybody from out of town could handle what we handle, Jim. Like, it'd be impossible.
Right, no doubt. I mean, it's a labor of love on that one. As we talked about, you know, we love this community, and we're so fortunate to be able to work with them. And it's worked. What Dick said, the talent was already here in Pensacola, and they were hiring people from out of town. The money would leave here. So,
I guess I thought you meant advertising out of town, but it's like, well, that is stupid. Yeah, why wouldn't they use?
Well,
I say us.
Well, that's the way
y'all
we felt.
Yeah, right, absolutely, sure.
It took putting us all together, and at the end of the day, to make whoever makes the decision realize it's not about the presentation. It's really about the service and the commitment and really caring about the community and having the expertise to do the work. And once they saw that, it's been enough about us. Let's talk a little bit about something else. And here's one thing I'd like. When Mary called for Jim and I to be on this show, she asked, wanted to specifically, excuse me, talk about radio. Well, both Jim and I have a history in radio, so we'll real quick go into that. So, Jim, your history in the radio business before you became an ad agent was?
Well, in order to go to work for my father, which I wanted to do.
Right.
And I wasn't in advertising at that point. He said, you got to go out and get a job and then come back and talk to me. And so I went.
I get that. I was afraid of your dad. Yours too. But I could see that.
So I went to work for WXBM, WMEZ. So.
As a what? In sales?
I was in sales over there for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then I went to work for dad. And worked for dad for about 10 years before he retired.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So I've got a lot of radio background. I really admire. Radio's changed.
So much.
Yes. Yeah. It's so corporately driven. And now a lot of, you know, Candy, the voice track.
Yes, I do.
Really, it's somebody from outside of the market.
It's bizarre. You tune in and you can tell because it's like biotechs are, God, if they even do mention anything local, you're right. It
comes in from out of town. The thing I would tell you that I admire so much about these properties is that you guys are live, local, you're involved with our community. That's so important.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what makes a great radio station. You know, what's the difference between you and listening to one of these other stations that, I don't want to disparage them, it's not that, but there's, it's...
But it's evolved. It's evolved over time. And Pensacola traditionally has had one station that was more focused and devoted to the local. You know, the early days of WCOA. Here's the first trivia question for my small panel here. What does WCOA stand for? Anybody?
I used to know this. I know. It's not Council on Aging.
Wonderful. Wonderful Community of Advantages.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
That was what WCOA stood for, and it actually broadcast from City Hall downtown. What was City Hall? Now it's the UWF Museum.
Yeah, a lot of history there, too. Even, like Lurch from the Adams family, he was a DJ there. Not when you guys were there, I'm sure.
Ted Cassidy, I think.
Ted Cassidy. That's right, the late Ted Cassidy.
Anyhow. But over the years, there's always been one dominant local radio station that, you know, for years it was focused on news. And if you had the news, and WCOA was very specifically into the news and some entertainment, and over time, others replaced them, as did... came along WOWW, which is kind of the model for...
Oh, wow. Calling. Yeah, 107.
Kind of the model for where we are now, Cat Country and whatever. But, you know, as Jim said, over time, the other stations, and it, for a variety of reasons, they got out of the news business because of the expense side of it.
Absolutely.
And then they had on-air people, and then as time passed by, they went to syndicated broadcasting and fewer people on the air. So I, like Jim, I admire what's been done here. Every community needs great radio stations that are a part of the community. So back to my question. So here's when I was coming out here, and people can text their answers, but if you were sitting down saying, okay,
that's right, 437-1620.
Memorable people on the air. On the air and radio in Pensacola, Florida. Jim, do you have anybody that comes to mind as on the air, other than Brent Lane and Candy? Do you have others that...
Sure, some that I got to work with. Linda Lawrence and Marty White.
Weren't they great? Yeah.
Linda Lawrence and Marty White.
And they're still with us, by the way. They're still alive.
Well,
but they were wonderful. They absolutely did wonders in this town.
Speaking of that, unfortunately, somebody that's not with us that just passed away recently, Jim Sanborn.
Yes. I know.
Yes. Yeah.
That was heartbreaking. He was at COA last.
Yes. Yes, he was.
All right, Candy, you got any names you want to add to the list?
Luke McCoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don.
Papa Don
Schroeder was a legendary name. And people will probably send in names that we're not aware of. But you know, I go back to where there was Don Priest and the original guy, Mac Miller, who owned WCOA. And I was said it was a guy named Robert Michael Green, I think, at some point at WXBM. Robert Coker Morgan and Speedy Williams were at WBOP. And if you never heard them do a live broadcast of a basketball game, it is worth hearing.
And sports is hard.
It is hard. Those two guys would carry on. And the interesting part is that they would know, like Washington was playing in the state championship, and they knew all the Washington players, so they'd say, you know, Smith throws to DuPont, DuPont to Roosevelt, Roosevelt shoots, rebound by number 12, he's throwing it down. So if you knew that they were using numbers, the other team had the ball.
Yeah.
If they used names, our team had the ball.
When I do sports, I've only done numbers, so that's why I don't work at the ESPN part of our area here. So do we have one now?
Let us know if anybody texts in names from the
Michael
past.
Green. Love Michael Green. That's from Earl and Gulf Breeze. And Dan said, oh, I remember Papa Don.
Of course.
And there's a lot. Of course, Mark the Shark, who you guys remember, passed away too. And I certainly miss Joel Sampson. He was still with us and still working in radio.
Jim Young was one that was on WCOA for a while.
It's funny, Jared Willits, you'd mentioned WOW 107 earlier. He was a DJ for a long time. And then, of course, he went to, and that's another great thing about the community, not just you guys and everything that you do in our community. And we've always considered you radio, of course, your radio family, because they have fed us and clothed clothed us. I mean, it's true. We wouldn't eat or anything without the amazing stuff that you guys do. But just to also see the other people in radio that have gone on, and of course you with the Southern Media doing this, but in sales there or on air there, and then just moving into different parts of media, like your dad or Jared Willits.
Yes.
And when I was in college,
which school did you go to?
I went to the University of Alabama, and then to
Roll Tide.
Yeah, and
be careful now.
I know. I know. I'm sorry.
That, but I worked for WCOA for a summer, and I kind of was the producer of the Sally Henderson show. She was a wonderful lady, and I would select the records that she'd play, and then she had cancer and had to work from home, so I'd have to take a, this was before texting and all that stuff, I'd say, here's the list of records, and I became worked the board, and I took my test as to how to become an engineer. I had to spell duct as in duct tape. I got it correct. There was a T at the end of
right.
it, and so I became a producer of that show, and later on, my good friend Don Priest had me be the color announcer for the high school football games, which was a hoot. I did that for most Friday nights during the fall.
That's exciting. And that's how a lot of people in radio get their start.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you guys went above and beyond. That somebody texted in, there's a memorial for Jim Sanborn at his favorite bar later this month.
Cool.
I don't know.
I think it's next. It is the 19th.
The 19th of May.
May 19th at the Azalea.
At the Azalea. Okay. Yeah. We had the owner of the Z in here not too long. He was on the wrap. And you own the Z. It just surprised me.
Yeah.
So, you're so young.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Chris Hampton, somebody texted in.
Yeah, there's another name.
Well, that's another name.
And he was at WJLQ and COA, the FM side of COA for a while. And I'm sure we left people off, and if we did, I feel bad. It just were the names that came to mind to me.
Absolutely.
But a lot of great memories and a lot of great names out there. I will tell you one quick story. When Don Priest and I, this is the first time Wedgwood and Washington were playing in high school football, and both of them were blue and white were the colors. Now, for those of you around now, that's when Wedgwood was a high school and Washington was
a high school.
I
was going to have to ask that question.
Yeah, they were both high schools. And they had a jamboree. And Don, who usually did a lot of pre-work, but this was a jamboree. And we were about midway through the first quarter, and Wedgwood had the ball. And Don said, there's a timeout. And he realized that he had the two teams confused as to which was which. And he says, there's a fumble, and now Washington has the ball. It didn't miss a beat. He didn't.
That's awesome. Some of
he
the
recovered well.
Parts,
he
sure.
knew how to do his job.
And you guys are going to stick around for the rest of the hour?
Sure.
Okay, great. That's good. I know that our time is coming up, and then we'll have another 30 minutes. And this is great to talk old radio. And there's so many people, of course, that just – we all grew up listening to these stations. Paula Peterson.
Yes.
That ring a bell,
man,
of course.
I loved her.
She is great, and she's doing traffic with iHeartRadio now. Not, the roads are here, but right. Yeah. I know that you got all of your contracts have gone through Paula Peterson at that station,
she
no doubt.
She was also a fantastic writer and creator.
Absolutely, and broadcaster.
And anybody that came in to be recorded, that was Paula Peterson, got them on the air.
Oh,
she
man.
She's great.
She's fabulous, and she had a bunch of COA stories, too. Of course, she started there, and Peterson, she's been here forever.
One of my employees, Gene. Jeannie Hufford worked at those stations. And
she hired me.
Yeah.
And she was my maid of honor in my wedding.
Well,
so,
I love. Probably listening.
I love you, Jeannie Hufford.
She worked for Clear Channel for a long time.
For a long time, yeah. And then she went to Appleyard, and we love that. And we will return with Jim Grimes and Dick Appleyard next. From the stacks of wax. No, I'm just kidding. This is Candy. I'm sitting in for Tammy. And this is amazing. Again, I've been hearing this commercial, which one of my favorite things, but all week about you guys coming in. Jim Grimes, Dick Appleyard, and just, again, weaved into the fabric of Pensacola, and not just with the advertising agencies, but with radio and everything along that goes along with it. And it's been so fun just reminiscing about some of the older DJs and personalities that have been in this area. People were coming into the studio and texting in, and Don Parker.
Yeah, great guy.
I'll let
one
you guys.
Of the ones that we missed.
Yeah, some of the ones that we've missed. Steve Remmel.
Steve Remmel
is another one.
John Richardson, John Thielen, both worked at WCOA in the news side of things. I guess I remember them most because I hung around Mr. Priest an awful lot. And if people can remember some of the other names, I can't remember them off the top of my head. But there were some. You know, the bottom line of it is the morning announcers could show the trends. They could make the trends in the radio business mm-hmm. at that time if you really got a hot person that was interesting and funny and involved. It would happen and follow them. Of course, I go back so far that it was just WBSR, WCOA, and WNVY yep. were the mm-hmm. only stations all AM.
Oh, sure.
And that's when Papa Don, Ding Dong, Billy yep. At Dash, and Don Schroeder was on there at BSR. And Jim Young was at WNVY. And Don Griffith, you ever remember
Don Griffith? I remember Don Griffith, yes.
Yep, he was made famous by, it was an article in Sports Illustrated talking about wrestling and how people followed wrestling, and they implied that it was fake. And I know you think it's real, but at the end of the day, and
we'll
Don Griffith was the ring announcer in wrestling here before wrestling was really popular.
Yep.
And he was quite the announcer of games. He also did the games. Here's one for you that you won't remember. Mm-hmm. The Pensacola Goshawks.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Never heard of them?
The Goshawks.
The team at NAS Pensacola.
Oh, wow.
And actually, one year Roger Staubach played there, and because he still had time, he had to be in the Navy. And Joe Bellino, who was also a Heisman Trophy winner, played for our Goshawks. And they played, you know, the Marines. They played a lot of different teams like that. Well, more than you wanted to know. But I don't know what we're going to talk about next. But you know,
one of the things that you were talking about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
When Dad was at WAR. He helped get wrestling started at WAR, and it almost ended his career at WAR because the first time they had him on, one of the guys got thrown out of the ring and broke the camera.
Oh no!
And in those, that was a lot of money back in those.
Oh, absolutely, right. A lot of money now.
And they did it in the WAR studio.
And did it in the studios
where
WAR.
It was, and there'd be
yeah, used
40
to go.
People. There'd be not many people, but right. You'd go in there, and then later on, they went to the wrestling took place at the Pensacola. It's not the basin, the center
down.
Municipal auditorium. Yeah. In the South
right,
Palafox.
That's right.
That's where you did the wrestling, and there were some Mario Galinto, and there were some local
Cowboy Bob Kelly. What was those guys' name?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a long time mm-hmm. ago. So.
But that was the beginning of wrestling that we see now. On,
absolutely, it was. Yeah. And of course, we have the rich wrestling history, not just with Rikishi and The Rock and the
right.
the Samoans, but my gosh, how I just. Superkick Scott Armstrong, Bullet Bob Armstrong,
yes.
Road Dogg. I mean, the whole.
Who was the guy
area.
That's. Why the guy? He was from the Navarre area. I'm stumped.
No. It'll come back to us.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Jim is trying to remember, do you have a spot about Alzheimer's or anything?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where
how important it is.
It happens to the best of us. Yes, as we all
showing my age.
No. Pulling your leg. But one of the funny things that happened, you were talking about how important it is for people to be involved in the community and get to know. And you mentioned Tahar, Texar, whatever
right.
the name of it
Right, because you can
was.
Tell, you know.
But I always liked the story. There was a new announcer on the air. I won't use his name, but he was at WAR weekend announcer, and something happened at Softly Field, and he said such and such happened at Softly Field, Pensacola, and the person in his ear said softly, and so they came back on the air, and he says, "Our next story is." Anyhow, so not knowing it was really Softly Field didn't help his career very much.
Oh, man, that's great. Sorry, that's so funny.
Too many local stories.
But there's a lot of local stories, and that's, again, one of just the great parts. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, we're good.
Oh, okay. This is amazing, too. And again, if you have any questions or you want to reminisce as we walk through memory lane, I guess, with some of the radio stuff, Mankind is in Navarre.
Yes.
You know, okay, that's
yes.
the wrestler. Chris Hampton. Okay, yeah, it's so great getting these.
We mentioned Greg Gordon.
Greg
an
Gordon.
Of, an on-air personality
and Greg
for
Golden.
A while.
Yes, and Greg Golden.
Golden.
Yes, mm-hmm. A friend of mine lives in Atlanta now.
A lot of familiar names of which people remember. And of course, recently, there's a lot of good names that you would remember to this day. I would tell you that, you know, I don't know what Mary's intention of having Jim and I here was, but I would say if we spend a little bit of time talking about the changes that have taken place in our industry that also dramatically impacted radio and what have you and where things are, you know, I started working and there were three channels, and that was on TV, three channels. Mm-hmm. And there were no FM signals. And so over time, you know, you get to today, how many different places you can spend your advertising dollar, from digital to Facebook to, you know, they're probably
radio, TV, billboards.
And on TV, if you just said, TV, you used to go to either Channel 3, Channel 5, Channel. Now you've got a whole
streaming.
You got streaming and OTT, and then you have the cable, which has 60, 70 channels you can buy ads in.
And you guys probably deal with all of that.
We have to, yeah. I mean, that is part of our job, is to understand what works when, what works how.
How does a small business, if somebody was coming to you guys, they want to get started, they want their name out, what would they do?
Well, if they had a limited budget, you know, the first thing I would tell them is, do you have anybody internally that can handle your social media? You don't need my help to do it, but it is a nice, inexpensive way to get the word out about your business if you have somebody working for you that knows how to do it. Now, we do, and so does Jim, social media for people. But the first starting place is that. Back in the day, I used to always recommend radio as a start. But you know, the radio world has also dramatically changed to where Cat Country and news radio have a unique niche in that they're so local. But when people say, I want to buy a radio, some of them think, then I need to be on Sirius, or I need to be on the streaming networks. And then there's online streaming networks. And like the Wahoos right now don't have a radio partner, but their games are streamed online. There's a lot of ways to get radio other than just sitting in your car or listening to the radio. And so radio has all these multiple options to choose from. And a part of it depends on how much money you have to spend. If you have a small budget, you got to figure out how you can make as big a bang as you can with that small budget. My recommendation to start with, if you can figure out how to do social media, I'll help teach you. But you really, it's best when you have somebody working for you there who cares about it and can
absolutely
get the message out. You know, radio's another one of the early ones. And not to pump you guys up, but at the end of the day, there's two categories of radio. One is the stations where we're at right now, and the other is the other stations. You know, if you're in Pensacola and you want to get your name out there, you would start with these stations if you were on radio.
Absolutely. That comes back to what we were talking about earlier. This station's so involved mm-hmm. with our community. It's the way radio should be done, as far as I'm
concerned. Oh, sure. It seems like when I started here, of course, because I've worked in other radio, just like all of us, we've all worked at other stations, but they do it, I don't want to say the old-fashioned way, but...
Well, it really is.
Well, it is, yeah, because we have meetings once a month, and they cater them, which is amazing, which is good if you're in radio, and it is. But all the parades, we are all at all of the parades, and it's nice to go out and see people.
It amazes me how much...
And all of this stuff.
The owners of this radio station... All the on-air personalities, you guys, you work more than anybody I know.
Oh, yeah. If you have time to lean, you have time to clean. Probably literally. But no, it's true. And we all have hearts of service, just like you guys. Sure.
Yeah, I'm amazed by Brent Lane. A lot of times it's like, I can go.
Brent.
If I go to an event, Brent's there.
He's always there. He's usually emceeing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's.
But I would tell you though, from that standpoint, there. You know, Sue Strawn at WEL.
Sue Strawn, man, what
a legendary and a
human.
A person who can MC events and does some and does a great job of it. But I don't know that I've ever seen a media personality as involved and as the spokesperson or MC or whatever the way Brent Lane is today. There's never been anybody even close to what Brent does. And it helps every group that has a dinner or an event or whatever to think that you can call Brent Lane and if he's available, he'd come. Yes. It's very helpful to have a professional on the stage who knows what he's doing. So, you know, not that Brent's there are many others that work here, and I know that, but he is kind of the iconic person and does a great job of it. And never in the history of Pensacola has there been a radio person that dominant in that area.
Oh, I would say that. And even working at other stations, I remember when he started and he was doing middays for Cat Country, which was the new station, which rotted for every other radio station because we'd get out there to do our job and then this big van would show up with a mascot and then there's that tall dude. And he was so nice. And you guys will remember this from, well, competition between radio stations. You would have the speaker wars. And we were doing a remote, both of us, at this now defunct Irish restaurant that didn't pay bills or something. Uh-huh. But, I know, see if you can guess which one. Yeah. But he asked me if we needed help setting up speakers. And it was just the first time that anybody in radio here wasn't like, hey, you guys need to move, or, you know, it was just, and he's always had that giving heart. That's why, like, when I left TK, I just jumped at the chance to work with him, and it was a great 10 years, and he is wonderful. There's nobody that cares more about the community. I mean, like that guy, I can see why you guys all do so well together at Visit Pensacola.
Well, you know, and I hope that sets an example.
And the show is much better now.
As you look at our world, and I'm not, this is not a political thing, but at the end of the day, getting along with people, building relationships, whether they're your opponent or your competitor or whatever, the world needs more of us working together for a common good. And that's what I think Showcase realized, was we can all be better if we work together and leave that competitive piece at home. And I think our community and our world needs more of that rather than looking for reasons to not get along. Let's look for reasons to get along and try to make things better around. Now, that, I apologize. That's not why we're here, but that's my little statement.
I would agree wholeheartedly. And the Showcase situation has taught me a lot in general about teamwork and how we can get along. We should all be competitors. We're all friends.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
And enjoy work. And it helps.
And I'm glad you guys are friends, because when I saw you were both coming, I didn't know you knew each other. But of course you would.
I'm sure I was one of the first guys to call Jim when his dad died. And Jim was one of the first guys to call me when my dad died. Yeah. At the end of the day, we're friends. And you know, that goes further than who's placing what on what medium. It goes with, I really do care about. And I thought his dad was phenomenal there, and did a wonderful job when he was here at EAR. He was a legend.
Both your dads were legends. And
my taught father us. Respected his father so much. It was incredible. I get to work with Dick.
We respect each other, and that's a big part of what makes us a success. And a lot of, you know, at the end of the day, that's my last political statement. It's not politics. It is
not at all.
We just need in our community to figure out where and how we can get along and get things done, as opposed to I'm against that guy because of whatever. And I think that's the approach we take for our marketing, for whatever. Our job has been to select the medium that will help the public understand that the businesses we represent have something special going on, and come in and do it. And we try not to take, well, I'm going to go to this station because I know that guy, or I'm going to go to TV because I know that guy. You have to look at the big picture and say, where's the best place to place this money to get the results for that client? And in my mind, radio always has a place at the table.
Absolutely.
It's varied over the years, right? But it always has a place. I one of my bigger clients I did would say, why are we running on local radio? I listen to Sirius. And I said, well, why don't you go out and you drive through and listen to the trucks and cars that come by and then come back and tell me why we're
Can't
not.
Can't tell you
Absolutely.
How many times I've had that conversation. Yes.
At the end of the day, you might have Sirius, but the average guy working hard out on the streets that wants to come to your restaurant, he probably listened to Cat Country or TK 101 or something. They're
sure.
not.
Or news radio.
I've done the exact same thing that Dick's talking about, especially with some of my automotive clients. They're asking me, well, why are we doing radio and not doing it? It's like, why don't you go out in your service department
Absolutely.
And turn the car on and all these things, and I'll bet you
well,
90% of those are on a local station, and that's why we do that.
And I've listened to Sirius, but only when I got it for free for a year with a car. You know what I mean? I'm not going to pay extra, and radio is the last free medium. I mean, it is, and I really, we appreciate you guys. I always say, like, thank you for clothing us and feeding us, and you've It's so funny. These are the driving forces behind everybody you hear in radio, past or present. You guys have just helped. That's true.
We're a piece of it.
So appreciative
we're
of everything
of it.
You do.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things I should, because we're here to talk about all medium, and a lot of people, the two we haven't talked about that are old school, one is print, and I would tell you, personally, I worry about the future of print advertising and print. Whatever the publications now, most of the papers are printed at outside communities, and most of the news is 24 hours old or whatever. And the staffs, in order to have the expenses match the revenues, there's just not as much staff. And what worries me about it is, who's the checks and balances on our local government or
Absolutely.
Our local whatever, who is the check and balances to see? Are they telling the truth? Are they spending the money wisely? Are they doing? At the end of the day, that media piece being gone worries me. Now, there are some. Rick does a good job at the independent news of providing news.
Yeah.
And I'm not dinging the newspaper. I like the people there and whatever. But as their staffs reduce, there are fewer and fewer people out, and there's nobody to do investigative reporting. That worries me.
You never see that anymore. You're right. Yeah.
It's frightening. And, you know, you wonder, and same thing applies. There are fortunately some national newspapers and whatever that do a good job of checks and balances. But locally, we're losing
what
we used to have. The other thing that we hadn't talked about was billboards. And if I just said, hey, we're talking about billboards, most people would say, well, nothing's really changed there. Well, it has changed dramatically with the digital boards that many of the companies are offering, especially Lamar, where I can buy a billboard for 2 days and put it up. I can change it from my office. I can send a new design, and it'll be put up tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's mind-blowing, too, to think of considering.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The paper
you just
the
send
face.
It, boom, boom, and it's done. I remember the day when I had to go to the outdoor company or the newspaper with the hard copy of the ad and hand it to somebody in order to get it in the paper by 2 days later or whatever. And if you give it to Lamar, that's a great design. We'll have it up in 15 days after we get it printed and come here and whatever. Now I can sit at my desk. I don't design things, but somebody can design something, hit a button, and 15 minutes later, that billboard's up wherever we chose if we had had a contract for it. So that business has become so fast and instantaneous. It's a very different business than it was before. And with digital, you can change the messages around quickly. And
absolutely.
And, you know, when will we reach a point where every billboard is digital? I'm not sure if we'll get there. But what you have to understand is there's a board they're paying rental to the landowner, and there's a pole that goes up. And with a little technology added to it, they can get 6 advertisers up there or 8 advertisers up there that rotate. And they all pay more money than the one advertiser would have 2 years ago. So that business has really changed a lot. So that's some of the stuff we have to worry about. And I don't know about Jim, but most of my customers would expect me to know, well, you know that billboard over on Davis Highway? And I'm supposed to know exactly what they're talking about and go out and try to get it. But
So and you can advise them too if it's a good visibility or if it's this. It's so funny that all of this, it does change. And this is a dumb thing to say. You guys obviously work on commission, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Because you're sales. And that's what, I mean, of course you would want, like if somebody was reaching out for a business, you want them to have more business. And that's, they would reach out to you for because of stuff that they don't think about like that, like billboards.
Right. I would tell you though, I think that the comment you made that we make our money off commission, its days are not long for this world.
It's changed for sure.
It's changing, and for the most part, more than 50% of our customers are on a fee basis and not commission. And today, if I Lamar really doesn't pay commission, billboard print doesn't pay commission.
Oh, they don't. No, that's
weird. Pretty much a TV and radio.
Yeah, it's a TV and radio thing.
You can tell I don't do sales. But back, you'd be like the worst salesperson ever.
Back in the day when Jim's dad was running WEAR, you might have wondered, well, why is Ted Ciano on all his ads and why is so-and-so on all their ads? Well, at the time, if you were in an ad, you got paid a talent fee by the station of 45 cents or something like that, some crazy.
It's number. About the same.
Every time that it ran. So the reason the car dealer would put himself on the ads all the time was he got an extra check in his pocket for his talent on
air.
There
was one I wasn't aware of.
Oh, hey, yeah. I never thought about that.
They paid a talent fee.
Darn it, Ted. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, my sister did the ads for Kentucky Fried Chicken, and she would get paid a talent fee for being
Is that Carolyn?
No, my sister is Diane.
Diane, I'm sorry.
Is Carolyn, right. And you will never see Carolyn on an ad. I can promise you that. Not interested in being the talent. But anyhow, the point is, yeah, you could make some money. It wasn't huge, but at that time, that'd probably be $5 every time today, if every time you're on the air. So talent fees were a part of it.
They still sort of are. Okay, well, and thank you guys so much. Our music is going. How does somebody reach you guys? What's your websites?
SouthernMediaIncorporated.com.
I'm AppleYardAgency.com.
Easy to find. And you'll find this podcast, too, at NewsRadio923.com. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Please come back.
Thank you.